The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
With Provident, a Bradford business since 1880 and passionate about rugby league.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show right here on Pulse 1. And if you love your rugby league, then we will have it covered with you this evening. Now, tonight in the studio, we have found the Earl of Rugby League. We went missing last week. Leon, how you doing, bro?
Evening, all. Very good.
All good. Oh, you're in one piece. We were worried about you.
No. Bit of a misunderstanding, but we've sorted out.
Bit of a misunderstanding. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. We also have Jake here, as always, across social media, and producer Ewan across the decks this evening. Now, tonight, again, we're giving away two tickets for the fourth and final Super 8 qualifier up at the Providence Stadium when the Bulls take on Super League local rivals Halifax on Sunday, the 27th of September. So it's a couple of weeks away, but still your chance to win a couple of tickets. Now, to win these tickets, it's a very Halifax-driven question this evening. Name the Halifax front rower that started his career at the Bradford Bulls. Now, he's also played for Super League sides Wakefield, Trinity Wildcats, Leeds Rhino and London Broncos and a bunch of championship clubs. And to note, he is also, we're keeping it local, he's also a Keighley lad. So he's originally born and bred from Keighley. So if you... He's one of Leon's friends as well. So if you... if that's a clue, Leon's got a lot of friends. Leon's only got one friend, so that one friend is him. So you can contact us via the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or use Twitter and hashtag RHP show and send us your answers and we'll get it to you. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Leon, how's it going,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, all good. I'm all
you're
good.
You're just flipping about a card. Have you just found a scratch card?
It's a winner with £2 on it, so it's going in my pocket.
It's mine.
Is it? Serious? Oh, it's going in my pocket anyway.
So someone who's been in here in the studio, a studio guest that's been in here earlier today, I'm guessing,
has thrown £2 coins away.
You're all over that, aren't you?
Too right.
So where were you last week? You just left. It was just me and
a big misunderstanding, Robbie. What happened is, Robbie, my phone broke on the Tuesday night. My screen completely went, all the LED and what have you went in it. So I woke up Wednesday morning, I thought, I better go and get my phone fixed. But I remember we had the show Wednesday night. I also had a charity golf dinner that I had to go and do a presentation in support of Macmillan Cancer. So I text you Wednesday morning to give enough time to organise somebody else to come on the show.
Okay.
From my wife's phone, from Carly's phone, to a number that says Robbie. And then she says to me on Thursday Wednesday night that you were ringing up asking where I was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so obviously it wasn't my number.
Yeah, obviously it wasn't. It must be some other
so
Robbie.
So of all the, you know, how long have we been mates?
A long, long time.
A long, long, long time. So you know where I work?
Yeah.
Do you use the same Facebook page as
yeah,
your
I don't. I think my phone is my only way of communicating with anybody else. But I was pretty much.
You see where I'm going with this? Knows where I work.
No, I sent you a message.
I could have got a message to Pulse.
No, I apologise, but I didn't message you the first thing Wednesday morning to give you enough time. You know that I'm not.
We were worried about you.
You know I'm a reliable person, Robbie. You know I'm a reliable.
You know what I mean? You're always the first person
always,
here.
Always punctual.
You're here. It's holding up the whole building.
Just a misunderstanding. What happened again, Rob? I'm sorry.
We were worried about you, mate.
I'm back.
Deeply concerned.
I'm back.
Ewan didn't email me till today, though. Mm. Producer Ewan didn't email me today and say, is Leon all right? And I said, that was a week ago, no, man.
I'm okay, Ewan. I know you're not bothered, but I'm all right.
You can recover.
It's good to hear.
Cheers.
Okay, one of the big things on the in the rugby league radar that's happened today is Richie Mathers has announced his retirement. Now, a little bit of context here. Richie Mathers was recently handed a six-month suspension for breaking the betting rules. Now, it's important that I make this clear. He did not bet against his own team, which has happened in the past, and we'll get to that. But apparently he shared inside information, which is the part of the rules that all rugby league players sign up to when they sign their contracts, that you can't share certain type of information because you've got insider information on that. So apparently he told the opposition players, which probably were friends of his, in a social media app, how weak his London Broncos side was. So at the time, what he was given, when that was found out, and what he was given was a six-month ban. So this is a question that I want to ask. Well, we'll get to Leon first, but this is what I want to ask all of the listeners at home. along with contacting us for the question, which Super League player, Halifax front rower started his career at the Bulls, is also, do you think that a six-month ban was a justifiable sentence by the RFL for not bidding against his own team, but just sharing information, which probably that has gone on forever? So that's the question I guess I got to ask. Leon, I'm going to toss that back at you. I think what we're going to do on social media, we're going to put the question up so you can reply directly back to that. So, Leon.
Hello.
Your thoughts. 6 months.
6 months for not actually placing a bet on his own, on the game. I understand that he's been caught advising about the game, which you're not supposed to do to other people outside of your team. But at the end of the day, Sean Long and Martin Gleeson was handed a 3- and 4-month ban for a match that they actually partook.
Sean Long didn't, but Martin Gleeson did.
Martin Gleeson did. He got a 4-month ban.
Was it only that short?
He got a 4-month suspension, and he played in the game and bet on the game.
There's a good argument that sets the precedence.
So where's the consistency?
Yeah, you're right. You're right in that respect. To be honest, though, I was playing in that game myself, as you were. I was defending on our left-hand side of the field opposite Martin Gleeson. He scored a try.
He
ran over top of me about 4 or 5 times. So. I didn't get it. I didn't get it from Martin, because if you're going to bet to win, at least throw the game.
Yeah.
Don't run over top of the opposition and do it all within your power to win it.
It's a bit of a dodgy one, because Rich is really good mates with our Carl as well, very good friends with Stuart Field, and from the time they shared together, travelling together from Yorkshire to Wigan when they all played at Wigan. Yep. So I know he's a good kid, and a very positive kid, but 6 months for actually not actually placing a bet.
Mate, you know it.
6 months is a long time, Rob.
Our network within rugby league, the players that you play alongside of, the guys that you come into contact with, you become friends with over the course of it, you just do share that information, don't you?
You do, and it's not always correct, but I mean, even if you don't put it in text, the people talk about it anyway.
They talk about what
the RFL expects you to do, not talk about the strength and weakness of your team. I mean, unfortunately for him, he's been caught on a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
So which tells you that...
So there's kind of proof, isn't
there?
There's
kind of proof. So for him, really, it's probably a bit of naivety that's cost him his job. And in the end up, I can see where the RFL are coming from, but I think 6 months is too long for something that they've banned a player that's done far worse for 4 months.
So, but the saga becomes a little bit bigger, because obviously there's been a little bit of a conversation ongoing with another former player, Danny Sculthorpe. Mm-hmm. Now, he's been in conversation with one of the journalists that works in the sport, Ron Studd, works for Sky, works for been around the game for a long time, and he's just saying that it's out of order, the ban's the ban, et cetera, et cetera. But Danny Sculthorpe actually works as a representative for the RFL, doesn't he?
Yes.
So Richie Mathers has screen-saved everything that he's put in, posted it on Twitter himself, and it sort of shows it in a bad light. And to that extent, Danny Sculthorpe has
deleted his tweets.
He's deleted all his
tweets. Deleted the conversation.
I mean, is that a bit of an admission that you've got it wrong?
I just think it's a little bit of an unwritten rule between players and ex-players that when controversy surrounds a certain player, or somebody may have a bad game, or somebody must have done something wrong, I think there's an unwritten rule that we kind of look after each other. We don't slag each other off in the press. We don't make comments to put another player down. Someone's had a bad game or done something wrong, it's kind of kept us. We don't like to revel in somebody else's misfortune.
Misery, yeah.
Yeah, misery. It's kind of in football it will happen, in other sports it happen, but in rugby league we try to look after each of those players.
you know the real reason why.
What? What do you mean?
You're going to go out onto the field and get bashed, aren't you?
Yeah, but we do rub it over here. I think the players are good between each other. There's a lot of times that we could slag each other off and we don't. We might do it behind closed doors, don't get me wrong. But publicly, it's not always good to be slagging players off in public, so press and whatever, you can read it. But I think Danny's a little bit out of order.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't think we're going to hear the last of that. I think there's a little bit more to hear on that element. Okay, so let's have a look at a couple of the games from last weekend. Leon, you picked me up last time, because last time you were on the show, Bradford Bulls had a big win over Salford.
We talked about it.
And we revelled in it.
I swam in it.
But obviously, the Bulls didn't do so well against...
So let's talk about it then.
Let's talk about it. Do you know what? You know, it's the same thing that you've just been talking about there. I don't like to look at the negatives. And what I will do is say Widnes played exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. They really did. They were patient in absolutely everything that they did. They played the more... attractive rugby, the more risque rugby in the right part of the field. And when it was just coming out of their own yardage, they were really, really disciplined. They knocked the ball out. And defensively, they were really, really smart as well. They slowed the Bradford Bulls down, play the ball right down to zero by getting numbers in. And I think the Bulls fell into that hole of feeling frustrated and trying to play their way sideways as opposed to going up the field first. So, you know, one thing I got to say in that respect, I think the Bulls, the witness, I don't want to take anything away from them. I think they played exceptionally well, they did on that day. And they really did what Bradford did to Salford the week before. Drew a lot of energy out of them and made sure that when it came to the second half, they had nothing left in the tank to actually come back at them with. And that's how they pulled away from the game. And that's the way I like to look at it. No matter what sort of game I look at, I'll try and look at the positives in a game. And if I look at it from a neutral's point of view, I got to admire the way Kevin Brown led that team around the park. I thought they were exceptional.
Yeah, well, I like to look at it from a factual point, Robert. If that means negative facts, it doesn't matter to me. They got smashed. 50 points is 50 points at home as well.
Okay, well, putting my Bradford Bulls hat back on, Bradford Bulls came out and they beat Sheffield by 50 points. Then went away to Wakefield and got beat by 50 points, or 50 points on the mark. Then come home to Salford, basically put 50 points on Salford. Then had another 50 points put on them again. So by that rationale, this week the Bulls are going to put 50 points on Hull Cow.
I hope so. I hope so. But as a whole, Rob, I'm only joking about Bradford Bulls' situation because I want them to do well just as much as you do. But as a whole, at this moment in time, is the new structure working? In your opinion, is the new structure working? Because for me, the start of the season leading up to the Super 8s worked. Every minute did matter, but now, does every minute matter?
Well, actually, from a Super 8 qualifier's point of view, it definitely does.
In Super League, in the top 8s.
Well, we'll come back to that. Right, actually, there's loads to cover. Right, and we'll have a look back at some of those other games also.
Sweet.
All that and more coming up after the break. So stay with us here on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1 with Provident, a Bradford business since 1880 and passionate about rugby league.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, 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 West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening right here on Pulse 1. Now, tonight we're giving away two tickets for the fourth and final Super 8 qualifier up at the Providence Stadium when the Bulls take on their local rivals, Halifax, on September the 27th. To win these tickets, let's answer this question. It's a Halifax Bulls-related question. Name the Halifax front rower, the current Halifax front rower that started his career at the Bulls. He's also played for Super League sides Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, Leeds Rhinos and London Broncos, as well as a bunch of other championship clubs. And he is a Keith Lee lad, which should really steal it is the fact that he's Leon's mate as well.
There you go.
You can contact us via the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or use Twitter and #RHP show and send us your answers. Now, we were just finishing up. You were asking me whether or not I think that the First Utility Super League Super 8s is working alongside the Super 8 qualifiers. Now, being a sports administrator involved with the Super 8 qualifiers, I can say it's definitely working from my point of view.
Okay.
Because I am nervous every single weekend. And that's exactly the type of thing that sports should do. Should make you feel like there's jeopardy. Anything can happen every weekend. And because we're playing for Super League promotion and we're in and around that area where we could be, you know, we still mathematically can go straight up and even be in the million-pound game, so to speak. Every minute matters for us. But I think the real question you're asking is, do I think the First Utility Super 8s is working? So the playoff system in those top 8 teams. Now,
honestly, honest opinion. Come on, just say it.
I have actually, but I don't know if I'm biased because I'm involved with the middle qualifiers, but I've found the middle qualifiers more fascinating.
I think that's what it's geared up to be, though. I think this system is all geared up to about the teams from the Championship having a good crack at coming up in a Super League rather than really, really highlighting the best teams in Super League. And that's my opinion. It's all geared around that playoff game, the million-pound game, who can beat the Super League teams. I think it's focused a lot on that. I think the best of the best teams, I think it's taken a little bit of spotlight away from them, and I think a lot of it's down there in the Championship, in my opinion. I think it's every minute matters. It doesn't matter now anymore in the Super 8s because we've got teams.
Well, it does.
It doesn't because we've got teams. And basically, the top three teams, anyway, have been the top three teams for the last 18, 20 rounds. I don't know, 18 rounds or 17 rounds?
Yeah.
So
they've kind of set their stall out very early, didn't they?
Yeah. So I don't know. I get to a point where it's a little bit less exciting for me than the playoff system.
There's a counter argument, though, with Sheffield and Halifax. Both of them, you know, they're sitting at the bottom of the Super 8 qualifiers. But both those teams are, at this point in time, saying what we're doing is we're learning. We're learning how we can then go to the next level. Mathematically, they're going to
struggle. You're talking about the teams in the Championship.
No. Yeah, in the Super 8 qualifiers. Yes. So the Sheffield and Halifax. Yeah, yeah. We're at the bottom of that pile. Sheffield are the only team to have won, and that was against Halifax. They've pushed their card out early and say this is all about them learning. By that rationale, when you look at Hull FC yourselves and Catalan Dragons, both of you sitting and probably, you know, again, mathematically without a chance of getting into that top tier, shouldn't this be about consolidating and learning and for your coaches then start twisting things around and making those minutes matter for you? Because I understand what you're saying. For the likes of Warrington, Catalans and Hull FC, the season's kind of over at the moment.
It is at the moment, yeah.
Castleford still have the opportunity to pick up 6 points if something happens with St Helens and the Huddersfield Giants, but both of those teams look like they've come into form now, so it looks like there's going to be a tough chance for them to actually slip up. But shouldn't it always matter?
It should do. It does. It does to players' personal pride. But I'm on about if you're going to pay, you're paying teams to watch them on Sky. I mean, we've been on Sky once. We're going to be on Sky once. Now we've come in the top eight. At the end of the day, we've done the hard work. We've got in the top eight. The teams below have been on Sky in the middle qualifiers. They've been on Sky 3 or 4 times, getting £25,000-£50,000 a time from Sky, which is the payment. And they come in the group below us. They're below. At the end of the day, they're below us.
It's not their figure that you said, but they do. There is a payment.
So are you rewarding mediocrity? Are you rewarding teams for finishing lower? Because that's the way it is at the moment.
But the counter argument to that is this is the product. The Super 8 qualifiers is what's new about the system that enabled them to go back to Sky and renegotiate the terms to have more and further investment into the game.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without the Super 8 qualifiers, you don't have a new product.
But at the end of the day, like you're talking about before, Widnes and Hull KR doing so well, they finished in the lower eights. We're in the top eights, and we're taking a bit of a spanking sometimes against the top teams. But people see us having a bad season because we're losing in these qualifiers. But we're in the top league. We're not playing Halifax, we're not playing Bradford, we're not playing Sheffield, no disrespect for them teams. But do you understand where I'm coming from?
That's just from
my argument.
Well, maybe the first Utility Super League Super 8s will pick up once those top four positions are then confirmed. Because that's when it becomes very interesting. That's when the best of the best get that opportunity to go. And they get to play for those Super League rings. Now, during the break, we were just having a quick chat about the Super League rings because Leon's got more rings than he's got fingers. And we're just saying, well, you know, what exactly you've done with them. Now, me personally, I've had the luxury of playing alongside such a fantastic bunch of players like yourself, Leon, that I was able to pick up that Super League trophy 4 times. But one of those times was a Super League medal back in 1997 when we got first past the post that last year. So I picked up 3 Super League rings, and I don't think we make enough of the actual Super League rings themselves. Because I actually...
You can't really wear them, can you? Because you're show-offs. If you're a show-off, if you wear
on
one.
On game day, I do wear
them. Yeah, but you don't play anymore, so you're all right.
I think that was the difference. But when I was still playing...
You didn't wear one.
I wouldn't dare wear it. I think it was
a matter of tempting fate as well. Yeah, I've never worn mine.
But what I found is that in my career as a sports administrator, it becomes a great little talking point.
Yeah.
You know, you have that ring on your finger and you're able to take it off and say, actually, do you know? You know, especially with someone that's new to rugby league, just say, do you know that actually you don't play for a winner's medal in rugby league? You actually play for these things. And they're able to pick the ring up and they're tactile and they're, oh, wow. I only have one ring left, and that was
from
the one
four.
That...
One from four?
One's a medal.
Oh, you got a medal, sorry. So one from three.
Henry gave one to my dad when one of his winner's medals,
yep.
and then I gave one to my mum, so I had 2 left. But what I actually did is I gave... Well, I didn't give. I part-exchanged my... I think it was 2005 winners.
Oh, that's the best one as well, you nugget.
Well, what are you doing? I got the 2001 when me and Henry played together.
2005's the best, man. That was a right year.
Well, for you it was.
Yeah, come on, man.
About 2001.
Because I got man of match that game. And we beat Leeds.
Well, 2001 was special for me because it was the last time me and Henry played. But right. I part exchanged the 2005 ring or the 2003 ring. No, 2005 gave to mum.
Oh, that's all right then. That's it's a good one. That's the best one. That's the best one.
2003 ring when the Bulls won all trophies.
I've given that one away.
That was a special season for me as well. They're all special seasons when you pick up the trophy, but I actually part exchanged that for my wife's engagement ring.
Wow.
And actually, Morris, the gold shot.
She must be special, Robbie, if you're doing special. That. I hope she understands. Does she understand?
She doesn't understand.
No, she's got no
she
idea.
She doesn't follow sports.
They don't understand.
She's got no idea. All right. we haven't even started on a hot topic. All right. Coming up next, we'll be back soon. We'll cover all the hot topics, all that and more coming soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1 with Provident, a Bradford business since 1880 and passionate about rugby league.
On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
This is the RHP show where we talk nothing but rugby league every Wednesday here on Pulse 1 between 6 and 7 p.m. And tonight we're giving away two tickets for the fourth and final Super 8 qualifier up at the Providence Stadium where the Bulls will take on local rivals Halifax. That's on Sunday the 27th of September. Now to win these tickets, answer this question. Which Halifax front rower, starting front rower, I think he starts, started his career with the Bradford Bulls. And he's also played for Wakefield, Leeds and London. And he's a Keighley lad and a good friend of Leon's. You can contact us via the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. We'll use Twitter and just hashtag RHP show. Loads of answers coming so far. So we'll throw a dart and pick the winner, but we still haven't finished just yet. Okay, on that part of the show where we start covering all the hot topics. Leon, first up. The Australians are losing their minds. Big George Burgess, he's been handed a 2-game suspension for throwing a water bottle on the field at the Sydney Roosters. Now, at Sydney Roosters, Kane Evans missed him.
Yeah, I've seen that. I watched it on YouTube. Ridiculous.
Actually, Kane Evans didn't even realise he had thrown it. So how it all come about was Kane Evans was penalised in a tackle against a Rabbitohs player. That player got up and launched the ball at Evans. Evans picked the ball up and launched it back at him. And as he was walking from the field, I think he just got subbed or he may have got sin bin, I'm not sure. Burgess was on the bench and just threw a water bottle at him. Now, 2-game suspension. Is that harsh? Now, on the back of first... rugby league great Steve Blocker-Roach, great player, and Peter Sterling saying the game is going mad and no way it deserved a 2-match ban.
I don't think the game is going mad. I think the game's gone mad. It's barmy.
It's down under, though, isn't
it?
Yeah, it's all happening there.
The crackers.
And then we follow them.
They're crazy, man. It's a 2-game ban for throwing a water bottle that didn't even touch him. Come on.
You know the argument that they've had on the back of this, though?
Is what?
Is a fan threw a water bottle at a referee, I think, from the stands, and he got a 12-month ban.
Yeah, I understand.
So I think what they're
the
trying
argument.
To do is show some consistency.
Yeah, I know, but the game's just gone boring, and it's just real boring at the moment down there.
No shoulder charges.
No shoulder charge. You can't throw water balls at people.
You know, because they've got the... You know, down under, part of the reason why you used to love watching the NRL is because they always used to have a blue, didn't they?
Yeah, it's just boring.
And
now,
you have the first punch rule. Anyone throws a punch, any punch, you're sent from the field straight away. And they've got a point system down there as well. So depending on upon what you do, I think one of the issues with it is that they don't take into account the emotions of the game.
No, it's just becoming plastic and it's becoming boring. One of the most exciting things about NRL rugby is spontaneous actions from players and watching the best athletes making the biggest collisions. So we've lost the collisions. Now everybody's scared to have a bit of a blue because they're going to get banned for 10 games. So it's just going soft and it's just going boring.
And that's, I mean, there's the counter argument of okay, it's all to do with making sure that the game is PC, that it stays within the structure of making sure that, you know, it's a great family sport. But you would argue on the same side as that, is that part of that stuff, that drama, that anything can happen, is part of the reason why people watch it.
Absolutely. That's why we all watch sport, because we're supposed to not know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why we watch the game.
But what you're arguing is that we're taking that...
We're taking it away.
We know
what's
going to
happen. They're not going to fight. They're not going to be big hits. There's not going to be shoulder bars. Nobody's going to get cleaned out. It's just going to be a straight like a game of touch and pass.
Now, the thing that's important for George Burgess in this is that they've got Cronulla this weekend, but the weekend after that is when they start their playoffs. So the Rabbitohs haven't been travelling the best recently, and he's one of their go-to men. He'll be kicking himself, though, won't he?
Yeah, it's a pretty silly action. I can understand it why he's lost his head, but... two games for that, you'd be kicking yourself. What you mean? It could be end of a season. It could be season. Could be over now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he is appealing it, but with he's a big boy with the velocity that he threw that ball at. He really could have broken Kane Evans' toenail.
I've just posted that video to our social accounts.
Oh, okay.
And do not think the intent. He does hurl it in his direction. No, the intent is there, right?
Yeah, but you got to put into context, though. Remember what they're doing on the field. They're hurling their bodies at each other.
Yeah, I'm just offering a little bit.
If you're going to cut out the intent, we'll just end up playing touch rugby.
Throwing bottles at people is not rugby, though, is it?
No, it's
no,
not.
No, it's definitely.
No, no. It's a good, counterpoint, but no, we're not. That's not two games, Ewan.
As you were.
I think one game, slap on the
one
wrist.
Game, yeah, one
fine.
Game's enough. Well, one game's enough if you want to get it to come down on him, I reckon. One game's enough.
Okay, okay. Well, we'll leave that. I'm sure you agree with me. Two games, a bit silly. You agree with Sterlo and Blocker. The Hayne train, the Hayne plane, as they're talking about it. Jared Hayne. Mate, have you been following the Jared Hayne story so far?
He's my new hero. He's my new hero. You know, he's my number one.
Are you a bit like me, the first time you've ever been interested in NFL?
I'm in awe of him, what he's done.
It's awesome,
I think it's amazing. He's brilliant.
Are you thinking to yourself, oh man, in my prime, if I was a bit younger.
Oh yeah, I'd kill it now. Get me signed up. Nah, now, I mean, Robbie, he's doing so much for Rugby League, the NRL and Super League. He's putting Rugby League on the map in America, the biggest sporting country in the world.
Yeah.
So I think he's doing Rugby League a massive service here. And not only that, the way he's doing it, the way he's playing, how he's coming to a game. He's only played like three or four games. He's terrorising it. He's the best player. How can you play three games of a new sport and be the best player? It just shows you what rugby league players can do. I mean, I think we're the best. I mean, if rugby union want a good player, they come to Rugby League. They take Sonny Bill Williams. If an NFL want a player, they come and take Jared Hayne. He comes and destroys it.
No.
You know what I mean?
Israel Folau, you name it. There's a long list.
Anybody, you name it. We go there and we dominate. Jason Robinson goes to Rugby Union, destroys it, wins a World Club. Sam Burgess goes to Rugby Union, he'll probably do the same. When people want the best athletes, they come to Rugby League, and that is simple.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love where you've gone there just then. Okay, what about the rationale behind why he's doing it? It's a dream for him. Obviously, he doesn't need the fame, didn't need the money. He was getting more money. On this trial period, he's been on $600 Australian dollars a week.
Yep.
He's now, obviously, he's signed that full contract. He's now on a reported $37,000 Australian dollars a week. But that is still less than what he was getting paid at Parramatta.
He would have got $1 million a year, wouldn't he? He's a $1 million a year contract player. But I've also heard the rumour that Nike are prepared to throw $15 million at him and make him the new face of their franchise, basically. Because you imagine how many shirts he's going to sell in Australia, worldwide, rugby league fans.
Well, they could segment to them. That's what Nike companies like Nike do, don't they? They segment the planet up.
Yep.
And where you've got the biggest brand names, they'll use that down under.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, this guy now, Jared Hayne, what he's done, there's going to be movies made about him. He's going to be a world famous superstar. Not only in Australia. I mean, obviously, it's nice being famous in Australia, but this guy's going to be the face of the franchise for me this year. There'll be movies made about him if he continues to succeed the way he is. I think it's just a brilliant success story. I think he deserves all the plaudits he gets. He's put Rugby League on the map in America, and I hope he makes as much money as possible. I hope he's a multi-millionaire out of it.
Now, if the Australians are smart, they will anchor on the back of this, won't they? About 20 years ago, they actually took a State of Origin game to America.
They
played it there, and the Americans absolutely loved it. Now, on the back of this, you would expect them to do something similar.
Absolutely, yeah. And also, like I think I talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think you'll see now a lot of scouts from American football teams watching our game.
Tuivasa-Sheck
will be gone within 2 years, Robbie. He'll be in there as well. He'll be in the NFL.
I mean, I read recently that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck mentioned that he would love to play for the All Blacks. But actually, now that this door's open...
He'll be there. He's got the best footwork in the whole of Rugby League at the moment.
He's got better footwork than Jared Hayne.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a better running, attacking runner. If you were to break it down to what they need, what they utilise these guys for in American football, he's better.
Yeah.
And he's younger.
Yeah, but at the same time, Jerry Dane's probably a more accomplished athlete, probably a little bit more mature, a bit more established in the game. But definitely for attributes, for footwork, for intelligence of how to run the right lines and confidence, Tuivasa-Sheck is probably the best in the game at the moment.
Answer, okay, easily. Well, we'll draw a line under that. He's obviously got the full support of all the rugby league community.
100%.
Going up into that sport, let's make sure that he waves that flag bright and loud. Gareth Widdop may be out for the injured for the autumn international series against New Zealand. Mate, if he's not, he's been an inform halfback. He's been the one halfback that us on the show have been talking about. He's guaranteed. He'll get that number six spot. If he's not there, who do you think the halfback makeup will be for England?
If he's not there, then I think they're going to play Tomkins at six and they'll play Ardacre at one and maybe Matty Smith at seven.
Is that your bet?
That's my thought at the moment.
And backup halves, you know.
Backup halves, what are you going to have? You could probably have Ratchford, who's not had the greatest seasons, really.
Luke Gayle's had some form this year.
Luke Gayle's had form. You could get him in there, give him a chance. I always like to pick players that are in form. He's the standout player for the Albert Goldthorpe medal. Obviously, if Danny Brough was available, he'd be a shoo-in for number six or seven anyway. But for me, I think you're going to have to find a way of putting in Tomkins and Ardacre into the same team because you can't leave either of them out, in my opinion. So I'd play Tomkins at six, probably Matty Smith or Gailey at seven, and Ardacre at one.
Don't fancy brushing off the international boots?
Not more.
Winding back the years?
Gee whiz, you'd have to give me a good 3-4 months to get fit first. I'd run for 6 weeks.
go and line up against big Sam Cassiano, Dogzilla.
Give me 4 months, I'll be right, Rob. Next year, boys.
All right, okay. More to come after the break. We'll have a look at a couple more of the hot topics and we'll look forward to this weekend's upcoming Super 8 matches, all that and more. And we'll also be announcing today's winner of the two tickets for the upcoming Bradford Bulls v Halifax game. All that and more coming up soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1 with Provident, a Bradford business since 1880 and passionate about rugby league.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the RHP Show and the final segment right here on Pulse 1. Now we're continuing on with our look at all things rugby league as well as looking at the upcoming Super 8 matches this weekend. But first, let's read out tonight's winner for the two tickets up at the Providence Stadium for Sunday, the 27th of September. The Bulls' final Super 8 qualifier against local rivals Halifax. The question was, name the Halifax front rower that started his career at the Bulls. He also played for Super League sides Wakefield, Leeds Rhinos and London Broncos. And Jakey, can Hello. You read out tonight's Hello. Winner, please?
Tonight's winner is Stephen Bennett, who we emailed in. You was correct. And the answer was Richie Moore.
What a lovely man he is. Scary. He's a scary dude.
Top man, Richie.
Top man. We love you, Richie.
Very funny
actually,
guy.
We'll try and get you on the show before the season finishes, Richie.
Actually, speaking of Keighley, my family are in Keighley at the moment taking French lessons. William and Lily, my daughter and son are in.
They're taking French lessons. They speak fluent French.
They've got to have a lesson once a week.
To keep it up.
So Carly takes them over, drops them off for a French lesson. They do an hour's French where they speak nothing but French and do all the work for an hour, and then she picks them up and brings them home whilst listening to the show.
That's cool. You know what's cool about that is that we won't know because we don't speak French and we're not Frenchmen.
Yeah.
But they will speak French with a Yorkshire accent.
No. When you're younger, your palate's obviously not formed yet, so you keep your accent. So when William was in France, he spoke perfect French. They didn't know that he was English.
Oh, they're right.
So he's got the accent because your palate's not changed. It's when you obviously get older and then speak once your mouth's formed.
But
they both speak fluent, perfect French, so you wouldn't, if they were in France now, you wouldn't be able to tell if they were English children.
Well, how come that's not the same with me? Because I speak perfect Yorkshire accent.
No, mate, you're too old, mate. You're too old like me.
So if Carly was to take up speaking French, she would
she sounds shocking like me.
Bonjour.
Yeah, she proper puts it on. She's terrible.
Okay, back at a couple of the prepare the hot topics of the World Rugby League. Holcar CEO Mike Smith stayed in Holcar, have underachieved this season despite reaching the Challenge Cup final. Do you think that's so?
Who's underachieved, sorry?
Holcar.
They've underachieved?
Underachieved.
Well, there's not been a great... I mean, other than reaching the final, not a great season, have they?
No, well, they haven't, but they're sitting comfortably on top of their middle Super 8, but they did... They did reach the Challenge Cup final, and
yeah, it's a massive achievement. It is.
Here's a different angle of looking at it. Then, if they had made a better of account of themselves at the cup final, do you think the same statement would
maybe
be
not?
Made?
Maybe not. No. It's. I'd say being drubbed by 50-0 is probably takes away from the achievement actually getting there. But you've got to put the performance in on the down. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a record loss. It was a record loss, and then it's going to be seen as a poor season because you're in the middle eights. And, I think it's, by their standards, they probably would have hoped for a better season. But they got injuries to key personnel, i.e. Terry Campese halfway through the season, who was up there, you know, their standout player. But they've had, you know, Albert Kelly's had a good season. And for them, I think, for the club themselves, I don't think they'll be too happy with the season.
All right, fair enough. Now, another of the final hot topics, Jermaine McGilvery's form at the moment. He's in sensational form, actually. Do you think he'll be pressing for international honours this year?
I think he's got to be the first choice winger, in my opinion. I think if you
ahead of Hall, ahead of Briscoe.
If you're going on form, go on form.
Yeah.
I think for me, he's the form winger of the competition. But England don't do that anymore, do they? They have a team that they select, and they kind of keep this group together.
Well, the reality is, though, also that they've got to take into account is that unit of outside edge players that they've been backing. With Hall in the centres alongside Briscoe on the other centre, and if they do play Hardacre at the back, these guys know how to play in the backfield together.
Okay, well, it's a valid point, but I am very much an advocate of you pick the players that are in form. There is no point in playing Super League and playing having your best season if at the end of the year you don't get rewarded by making your international team. The same thing that happened with Elliot Whitehead last year when he was in the form of his life and he got selected for 15 minutes of a test match, five games deep. What's the point in that? Play the players that are in form and give them a chance. Otherwise, how can you make a name?
Now, we're pretty confident that Watkins is going to get one of the centre berths.
Deservedly
so, yes. Sargentson.
Injured.
Out injured for the rest
Hamstring,
of the season.
Gone.
Done.
Yeah, so...
Else? Are we going back to Cudjoe?
Well, in my opinion...
He partners McGilvery.
What position's Wardle played at the moment? Because he's playing...
Left centre and back row.
For me, he's the form player, up there with the form player of the competition too. So why not give this guy a chance?
Always been a strong defender, but actually this year, lines that he's running, he's actually cutting massive holes in the Super League top team.
Also as well, making cut-out balls to the winger to create tries. I think his game's come on. I think he's got a pass in his game now that weren't there 2 or 3 years ago. I think he's got confidence and intelligence about his game that deserves an international spot. He's in form. He's a form player of the competition, up there with McGilvery, up there with Watkins, who are some of the standout players in Super League. So, for me, give these guys a chance.
So the two players that you're sort of lining up in that they could be competing for that position is Wardle,
yes,
and
McGilvery,
Wardle, McGilvery,
yeah,
Lira Cudjoe.
Cudjoe come into some form. He'd probably struggled for the last 18 months, if you'd agree. Mm-hmm. I think he's struggled for form. But over the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, he's starting to look strong again.
He's partnered McGilvery for a number of years.
You've also got Michael Chenton, who's been in real good form for Castleford this year. Yeah, so you've got him who'll be battling for that
and
spot.
And he's got international experience as well.
So I think out of them, out of Wardle, Shenton and Leroy Cudjoe, I think it'll be... You know, they'll be fighting for that centre position.
All right, let's have a look at some of the upcoming Super 8 games, both in the First Utility Super League Super 8 and also in the Super 8 qualifiers. First game up, Castleford versus St. Helens. Is this do or die? Is this a do or die game forecast?
This is a do or die,
They're sitting on 30 points, currently in fifth position. Only the top four teams play in the playoffs. St. Helens sitting just above them at fourth position on 34 points.
Question.
Is this do or die for Cass?
Question for you, Rob. How much momentum has the Carney situation, the Carney incident, which we don't really need to talk about too much, but how much has him been suspended affected the team, in your opinion?
It's got to have some sort of effect.
Yep.
That sort of, you know, what's been commented can rip the soul out of a team.
Absolutely.
You know, because by all accounts, Castleford had a really close-knit unit, guys that really worked hard for one another, had each other's back, and what's been suggested with things, that really has the opportunity to pull a club apart.
Rip the soul out of your team, can't
Yeah.
It?
So the performance against Huddersfield last week, although they got off to a good start, maybe it wasn't surprising that Huddersfield were able to put 40 points on them.
And also your franchise player missing. Your franchise player is missing. So, and remember, Carney is their player, isn't he? He's their go-to man. So big effect losing him for the rest of the season, I think, for Castleford.
So outcome, Castleford versus St Helens.
I think Saints should win with the new attacking style that they showed against Leeds, but in Castleford's favour is a small field where they always play well at home.
And it's an intimidating place to play as well.
It's a very intimidating
game. I mean, I think there's been a consolidation, though. You know, we're saying that it can rip the soul out of your team, but the supporters can come along and pull that all back together.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So we'll see. And a place like Cass, where the supporters sit basically, literally, on the field, that can really be that 18th man, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Castleford is an area and as a group of people, they're a very tight-knit community anyway. Yeah. You know, it's a working-class kind of community. Everything revolves around going down to watch Castleford on a weekend. So I think if the community can pull them together, we'll see on... Is it Friday night that they play?
Thursday night.
We'll soon see the effects of that and let's see if Castleford can kick on from here.
Okay, Saturday afternoon. The next game that's kind of interesting has got to be the Catalan versus Leeds Rhinos game. Now, the Leeds... have been trying to consolidate their position at the top of the table. They're currently on 39 points. They've got Wigan chasing, nipping at their heels right behind them. And Wigan are playing your eighth positioned Hull FC. So you've got to get at home. So you've got to give that probably to Wigan, the favourites going into that game. But with Catalan's form at home, do you think it's going to help them ride through this game against Leeds?
No, because Leeds have got a massively good record going to Catalan. I think they've won the last five or six times that they've gone over to Catalan. They're the one team that don't struggle playing in France, so they need to sort themselves out from last week's performance against Saints, because I know they won't be happy with that, and I know they had a little bit of a hangover from the Challenge Cup victory, but I think Leeds will still be favourites to win this game.
Okay, going down into the Super 8 qualifiers, looking at Wakefield Trinity Wildcat, the resurgent Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, they're hosting Widnes Vikings at home. What are your thoughts on that one? Widnes Vikings obviously coming off the back of a successful win last week.
It's a close one, but it's a close one. But I think with Kevin Brown pulling the strings for Widnes, they've always got to be favourites in that game, and in my opinion. What else do you think? Do you think that?
With the form that I saw Witness in last week, and if they play with the same type of patience and they give it the same sort of support, I think they'll be a tough team to beat. And the other one, Leon, big game for Hull KR as well as the Bradford Bulls. Bradford Bulls want to get themselves back on track.
Come on,
so
there's
an opportunity. But Hull KR, if they win this game, they're pretty much confirmed themselves back in the Super League for 2016.
Well, obviously, I'll be supporting the Bulls, so I want the Bulls to get one over on the red and whites, because I'm a black and white, so come on, you Bulls.
All right. All right, that's all we've got time for this evening. Big thanks for all of you listening, wherever you are tonight. Make sure you join us next Wednesday, because Total Access is next here on Pulse One. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul, and thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. Every Wednesday evening from 6.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. With Provident, a Bradford business since 1880 and passionate about rugby league.